Sunday, April the 6th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Amazing. If we haven't met before, my name's Joel. It's really good to be with you. Today we are looking at Silent Saturday. We have gone through in this series the week of Easter, leading up to Easter Sunday. So last week was Good Friday. We learned about the cross, about Jesus bearing our shame and our sin. And today we're in Silent Saturday. Have you ever realized the Bible doesn't say something, but you thought it did? And you suddenly feel like a fraud? Or was that just me? Just me. I remember the pain and the disbelief I felt when I realized there was no donkey in the Christmas story. I felt lied to. I remember more recently starting to write a preach on how Jesus changed Saul's name to Paul so he'd go out, and then realize Jesus never said Paul, but it was always Saul, and it was later on in the story his name changed. I realized stuff and I go, oh, I got this wrong. And when I came to writing this talk, I had this about Saturday. It's called Silent Saturday because the Bible is quite silent about it. Matthew has four verses in it, all about how the soldiers were like, we should probably go and guard the tomb because there was old prophecies that he might come alive again in a few days. So let's protect the tomb in case the disciples can take the body. But apart from that, there's nothing else. There's silence. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and there's silence. I've grown up in church and I've been very bold to presume that I knew the Easter story. That I've read these stories multiple times. I go, oh, I know Easter. There's Friday, Good Friday, Jesus dies on the cross, and Easter Sunday, empty tomb, and I get chocolate. And that's what happens. But I've missed a day. Never took in that I missed a day. We see in Matthew 15 ends with Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And Matthew 16 opens up with when the Sabbath was over. In that line break holds a whole day. In that line break holds a whole day on the most important week of the church calendar. A day where Jesus had died but hadn't risen yet. A day where the disciples saw their Savior on a cross but haven't seen the empty tomb. A day where they knew pain, but they didn't know the hope. A whole day of confusion, a whole day of silence, a whole day where they're probably going, am I missing something? Imagine how the disciples felt on that Saturday. Imagine how they felt. I imagine they felt awful. They'd seen up close a death what was designed to humiliate and torture. They'd seen up close a death of their friend, of their savior. The guy they thought who was going to save them from the Romans ended up dying by Roman method. They were fearful, they were scared. In John 20, speaking about the day after Silent Saturday, they say they were together, doors locked in fear of the Jewish leaders. Imagine that day in that room. Was this all a con? Have I been taken for a ride? I thought those miracles seemed real, but were they actually real? I thought Jesus was the Savior, but Saviors aren't meant to die on a cross. Imagine them having flashbacks of Jesus' final moments. In silence. And even though I can't fathom how they felt, I can relate. There's times in my life where God has been silent, where God hasn't spoken, where I haven't felt his presence, where I haven't known him, feeling him close. And those moments, if I'm honest, those doubts can come in, is, have I been making this all up? Is God actually here? Does he actually know me? Am I sure I encountered Jesus? And when we sit in Silent Saturday, the question I ask is why? Why did he wait? Why did he wait? He died, yeah, he conquered death, but why did he wait? And this isn't the only time that we see Jesus waiting. If you look at John 11, this is the story of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus. Jesus gets a message going, hey, Lazarus is dying. He's really ill. The next verse, it says, Jesus then waited 2 days. He knew his friend was ill, yet he waited. 2 days he waited. Then he went, right, come on, disciples, we're going to head to Lazarus because he's sleeping. And the disciples were like, I'm not sure you want to go back there. Last time we were there, they chucked rocks at you. I don't think that's a good idea for your health. And Jesus was like, actually, he's dead, so we should go back. And they're like, okay, cool, we'll go and die with him, is what they said. Jesus goes back and he arrives. And Martha's like, Jesus, where were you? I know he's going to rise again at the end of days, but you could have saved him. He waited. Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days when Jesus arrived. And he saw Martha, he saw Mary, he saw the friends, and he saw them mourning, he saw them crying. And in John 11, we stumble across the shortest verse. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Even though he knew what he was about to do. Even though he knew Lazarus was going to come back to life. Even though he knew moments later Lazarus was going to walk out of that tomb. He wept. He waited and he wept. Why? Why did he wait? Why did he weep? Why didn't he just get on and do it? Me and my logical brain goes, why didn't you just do it, Jesus? Why did you stop to cry? I think he stopped to cry, and I think the reason we have Silent Saturday is because Jesus is inviting us that even though he knows he's going to turn things around, there's still pain in the journey. Even though he knows things are going to be turned around for good, there's still pain in the journey. There might be redemption, but there is still weeping. And this verse is in John 11, and this Silent Saturday invites us into this place, what people call the now and not yet. A Silent Saturday invites us into the now and not yet. The now and not yet is explained like this. If you look at the blue line, that's our age. That's earth. That's our timeline. Yeah. We know that we have right at the start. We have the fall. We have Genesis. Go on. And then Jesus comes. Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a promise of what to come. Jesus comes down on earth 2,000 years ago, so he dies and he rises again and he conquers death. And there's a promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Yet there's space in between. There's a space in between. It's the now of the pain, of the suffering. It's the not yet of I know what Jesus has done. I know he's done it for me. I know I'm forgiven. I know he saved me, yet I am not there yet. It's the now and not yet. And Jesus sums up like this. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world. This is our Silent Saturday. We are in our Silent Saturday. In the time where we know the promise, We know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We know he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. But right now, there is shame, there is sin, there is brokenness, there is pain. But there is also joy. There is also hope. There's also goodness and there's also mercy. We're in that moment in between. And I think Silent Saturday acknowledges some truths that we can then take in as we journey in this life. There's some truths from Silent Saturday that we can get and work and help with in the now and not yet of this life. There are times in the now and not yet when all we get is silence. Job says it best. I go east, but he is not there. I go west, but I cannot find him. I do not see him in the north, for he is hidden. I look south, but he is concealed. When was the last time you had silence? Like total silence. Not silence with the hum of the motorway behind you, not silence with a ticking clock around you or the distant hum of cars or someone speaking in the next room. When did you have full silence? In this life, we rarely encounter silence. Life's busy, life's crazy. I think probably the last time I had true silence was maybe in Scotland 2 years ago. But even then, Jacob was probably speaking some rubbish, so it probably wasn't true silence. Silence in the physical world is uncomfortable. We don't like it. Silence isn't good. Have you ever had an uncomfortable conversation with someone? You just don't speak. Someone's going to feel that silence. People don't like it. It makes people uncomfortable. Silence can make us uncomfortable because our brain starts to wind down and we start to realize what's going on and go, oh wow, we're not good. Silence in the physical world is uncomfortable. Silence from God can be so painful. Silence from God when you want him to show up, it can be so painful. But I think we can easily mistake silence for abandonment. I imagine the disciples in that locked room felt abandoned. He said he was going to save us. He said he was going to be for us. He says he was going to be with us, yet he's gone. I imagine they felt abandoned. Even though God was working, even though God was moving, even though God was creating a redemption arc for the whole of humanity, I imagine they felt in that moment, in that time, abandoned. There's a truth that God's silence doesn't necessarily mean God's displeasure or abandonment. He didn't abandon the disciples, but he went to save them. And there are times in our walk, there are times in this now and not yet where there will be silence, where we won't hear from God, we won't see him, we won't feel him. But that doesn't mean he's abandoned us. That doesn't mean he's not for us. That doesn't mean he's not with us. It doesn't mean that whatsoever. And actually, we can take solace when we read the Bible. There's times and times again where we miss out on long moments of silence. I think of the Abraham story. I read it, I'm like, oh, old man, hasn't got a child. God says, you'll have a child. I flip over 2 pages, the child is there. Woo! That was quite quick. Between the last recorded encounter with God and Sarah having a child, that was 13 years. 13 years where there's no recorded encounter with Abraham and God. 13 years of a promise, but silence. 13 years of, hey, it's going to happen, but Sarah's getting older. 13 years of, God, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? We, because we know the ending, we can miss the moments in between where there's silence. For 13 years, Abraham waited. And that wasn't the whole time. There was years before that where he was still waiting, where the promise had still been made. God was working for his good. God knew the greater story. But the truth is, in this Silent Saturday, as we come across silence in the Bible, it doesn't mean his abandonment. It's part of the seasons. I don't know why. It's one of the first things I'll ask him when I see him in the next life. But there's a comfort that I take, that his silence doesn't mean his abandonment in my life. And just because he's silent doesn't mean he's not there. And just because he's silent doesn't mean he's not working for our good. He's still there. He still loves me. He's still moving. He's still working. It's just silent Saturday. The silence is easy when we know the end of the story, but right now we're in the middle of it. It will make sense. There are times in the now, not yet, when all we get is confusion. The disciples must have been so confused on that Saturday. Shell-shocked. Did that just happen? Literally, I've seen this man tell Lazarus to get up from sleeping and walk out of the tomb. Yet he couldn't do anything on the cross. Imagine how confused they must have felt. Martha was confused. Mary was confused. Why did Jesus take so long? He knew Lazarus was ill. Why didn't he come straight away? Imagine the hope she had in Jesus coming. But actually, by the time Jesus come, Lazarus is 4 days in the grave. Imagine the confusion there. And there are often times in this life I feel so confused. And that's not just because of my intellectual ability, but that's because of this life. I go on the news, I'm confused. Confused by what's going on in this world. Why are we letting this happen? I watch shows like Adolescence, I'm confused. Confused on how to respond, confused on what we can do. And closer to home, there's times in my journey where I've been so confused. Some of you will know Emily has a few chronic illnesses. And there was a few years ago where it was awful. There was times where Emily couldn't walk. And there was a day where she went into surgery. I was away with work. And I remember calling her afterwards. And calling her, and she's all wired up. I'm like, how's it gone? It hasn't gone well. It wasn't successful. God, why? So confused. So confused. Why aren't you doing this for us, God? Why aren't you there for us, God? And I remember we were out at our Christian conference. I had to go into the conference and sing stupid songs like Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And I did not believe it. There are times in our stories where confusion is all we have. Now in the place I know why. We've seen a greater miracle. We've seen a greater healing that we never could have comprehended with Emily's health. But then I was confused. Why, God? Why aren't you moving? Why are you there? There's a greater story God is writing for our lives, but in the middle of it, there's confusion, what we don't understand. And in that confusion, all we get is trust. We know God is all-knowing. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Throughout the Bible, we see time and time again the truth that God knows everything. Not man knows everything. Not Joel knows everything, even though I like to think it. God knows everything. When there's confusion, there has to be trust. When there's confusion, there has to be trust. Lord, I don't get why this hasn't worked, but I trust you've got a greater story for this. Lord, I don't get why this has happened, but I trust you're rewriting this for good. Lord, I don't get why you've done this or why you're doing this or what is going on, but I trust that you're writing it for good. When there is confusion in the silence, when there is confusion in the now and not yet, We have to trust. The Proverbs say this best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. When there's confusion, there has to be trust. When there's confusion in the God, why are you doing this? What is going on? I don't see where you're working. There has to be trust. Trust that he knows what he's doing. There are times in the now or not yet when all we get is confusion. And there are times in the now or not yet when all we get is mourning. The shortest verse in the whole Bible, Jesus wept. Even though he knew the ending, even though he knew Lazarus was walking out of that grave, he wept. There are times where all we get in this now, not yet, is mourning. Because that's all there is to do. Because there's pain and there's suffering. But we mourn differently to those who don't have faith. Paul says this in Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Yes to mourning. Yes to grieving. Yes to going, this hurts, this is painful, I don't get it. But we also know what is happening. We also know the promise. We know what is to come. We also know there's somewhere better. We also know that there's pain and there's comfort and there's hurt and there's mourning, but there's mourning with confidence in the promise of the next life. There's confidence in the promise of the next life. There are seasons where all we can do is mourn. And as a church today, that's a season we're in. One of our friends has died this week, Marjorie. A mother, a daughter, a grandma, a wife, a daughter of the king. We know what is next. We know the promise. We have faith for that promise. But now is the time for mourning. It's the now, not yet. Well, I know what's to come. I know there is something better. But today we weep. And there is something beautiful. That in the times where we simply mourn, we know Jesus wept. We don't mourn alone. Jesus is here with us. He's right here with us. He's in it with us. Jesus invites us to weep with him. In this life, Jesus invites us to not weep alone. And now, not yet, there is mourning, but there's mourning with confidence and there's mourning together. Weeping is part of this journey in the now, not yet. It's part we do together. It's a part we do with him. But it's a part we do. Silent Saturday invites us into a lot of spaces where there is pain. It invites us into a lot of places where there's confusion and this world is causing us pain. But it's not by ourselves. It's not alone. There's a time in the now and not yet when all we get is a promise. All we get is a promise. Silent Saturday invites us into the hardship of life. It invites us into the hardship of what's going on. Even Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome this world. Silent Saturday invites us into right now, this is going to hurt. I'm not going to hide that. There's going to be pain. But there is a promise that this won't be the end. There's a promise that this won't be the end. A promise that Sunday is coming, the empty tomb is coming, the empty grave clothes are coming. Revelation says this, he will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things has passed. We are in the now and not yet. The not yet is the promise. The not yet is the promise that Sunday is coming. Silent Saturday is only Saturday because Sunday is around the corner. There will be a day where all this is a distant memory and there will be no tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. And I am excited. This is how we get through Silent Saturday. And there are so many times in my journey where I go, I'm thankful that I know this isn't the end. I am thankful that I know this isn't it. Because if this was it, what is the point? How we get through this life of hardship with still joy, hope and faith is knowing the promise that this isn't how it's going to end. This isn't how it's going to end. How do we, as believers in probably the most hopeless world there's seen, have hope and a promise of what's to come? We have a world that is totally aware of the pain, of the suffering, of the hurting that this world has. The most countercultural thing we can do is to have hope in it because we know what's to come. And we know that hope isn't just to come, but that hope is in this now. The hope is for us now. We are in that hope. I want to be the most joyful, the most hopeful person in this now and not yet. Because I know what's to come. But I think to be the most hopeful, to be the most joyful is also to allow that in the silence, there is confusion. In the silence, there is pain. In the silence, there is silence. And in the silence, there is mourning. We know what's to come. We know the promise, and that is exciting. But also, we as Christians, we as believers, we have permission to feel the pain of today. Often, I find in Christian contexts, the main thing when I ask people, how are you doing, is they go fine or good. And I see often there's this guilt in us that as Christians, we should always be happy. God is good. Life is good. Woohoo. And that alienates us from the rest of the world because they don't understand it. And if we're honest, we aren't all happy. It's just a mask. We're invited to be real. We have a God that invites us to be real in our pain and real in our hope. To be real in our joy and real in our mourning. There's an invitation there. Band, come up. I want to work out. And I want you to think, what's God nudging you today? What's he saying? I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what you've come in today into church, but where is God getting your attention? Where is he wanting to meet you? Is it in confusion? Is it in mourning? Is it in silence? Our God wants to be with us in this. In all of this, there's an invitation to feel those feelings, but with God. In all of this, there's an invitation to feel it all, to be in it all, but not alone. So as we sing this next song, I want you to do what you need to do. Whether that's stand, kneel, sit, sing, listen. God wants to encounter you where you are today. Silent Saturday gives permission for us to be silent, gives permission for us to mourn. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are great. Thank you that in this Easter week there is the silent Saturday where you give us permission. Permission to be. Permission to love. Permission to hurt. Permission to mourn. Today, help us encounter you in the now and not yet of life. Help us know the promise of what is to come. That Easter is just around the corner. And that your goodness will never run out.